Jordan. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for the great promise of heaven here now and then. Lord, how heaven came down in the form of a son who would be born in a manger, who'd die on a cross. And then 2,000 years later, heaven would come down. For 2,000 years, heaven would come down and glory would fill the souls of men. And then one day heaven will come and we will meet heaven in the skies and we will be with him forever together in Jesus' name. I thank you for this hope. I thank you for this faith. I thank you, Father, that we possess such great hope and faith today. And I ask, Lord, that our faith would not falter in these things, that our faith would hold us fast. And that you'd be honored, you'd be glorified, that you'd be lifted up. Now I ask, Lord, that as we open your word, we ask that you would speak to us and show us great and mighty things which we know not. And then, Father, great and mighty things that we've heard but still don't know. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would fill us with your knowledge, but with your power. And, Father, the faith and the grace to walk according to what this word says for every one of us today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 5 through 23 this morning. We've begun a series called The Journey of Christmas. And we've talked about the journeys of Christmas. And today is the journey from unbelief to faith. And how an old priest would truly come to believe the promise of God. So I want us to look at a familiar passage of Scripture, a familiar verse for all those in Christendom who have read Scripture, that have read Scripture around this season, and want us to look at this journey to faith, from unbelief to faith. So verse 5, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abihai. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, and they walked blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. So it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he'll drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so that he makes ready a people prepared for God or for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, how will I know this for certain? Or how will I know this? I'm old. I'm an old man. My wife, she's advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel, and I'm standing in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in the proper time. And so the people were there waiting for Zacharias, and they're wondering at the delay of the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them, but he remained mute. And when the days of his priestly service were ended, he came back home. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. Now go to chapter 39, verse 39. So we have in the interlude in 26 through 38, You have the angel Gabriel going to Mary, and that's a different story, and we'll look at that next week. But I want you to notice, when Mary hears this word that she's going to be pregnant with the Son of God, it says that at this time she arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." This is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And every piece of it, every single piece, every single word is true. It was true in that moment. It was true when it was written down. It was been true for 2,000 years, and it is true today. And I want you to notice, we've been talking about journeys, and there is a journey here. There's a journey taking place, and it's similar to our journey. Now, first of all, there's a physical journey. And the physical journey is that Zacharias and Elizabeth, an aged godly couple, they journey to Jerusalem, okay? He is a priest, the Bible says. He's a priest of God according to this order or this group of priests. And so I want to just tell you a couple of things about him. First of all, them. They're a faithful priestly couple with a great heritage. And they continue that heritage by being faithful even in life's greatest disappointments. And one of their greatest disappointments is they don't have a baby. They don't have a son. They don't have a daughter. By this time, they should have grandchildren. By this time in their life, they should maybe even have some great-grandchildren coming. But yet they've remained faithful in the midst of a disappointment for a godly couple who believe that children are a heritage of the Lord and a gift of God. And so I want you to notice, first of all, that they're faithful. Zacharias is a priest from the order of Abihai. And back in David's day, David put the priests in orders, and they were scattered throughout the Holy Land, and they did their work. But then they came. Every priest had duty in the in Jerusalem temple for about 2 weeks out of the year, and each order was responsible for those 2 weeks. Okay, and so this order of Abihai, and so he had a role. He had a role in his community as a priest. He had a role for the nation 2 weeks out of the year, and they'd go. And I'm just telling you, you have thousands and thousands of priests that would descend sometimes for festival on Jerusalem, and these special days, these special moments. And so there's something special happening here in Jerusalem, and so they make this journey. According to their time, according to their duty, according to their ministry. And then Elizabeth is a daughter of Aaron. She comes from a priestly line of Aaron. And so they are a faithful priestly couple with a great heritage, a great heritage. And I just say this, they are faithful no matter what life throws them. And I want to ask the question, have you remained faithful in those days and weeks and months and maybe even years of disappointments? In those years of just where things just didn't work out the way that you thought they should work out. Maybe you're going through one today, but I want you to see this, that this man knows he's called, he's got responsibility in the kingdom of God in Israel, and they remain faithful all these years. Second, the Bible says that they are righteous. They are righteous in the sight of God. Look at verse 6. Righteous in the sight of God. And I just want to say this one thing about this part. In the Bible, no one is righteous apart from faith. Okay? No one is righteous then, later, now, and forever. The only way you find righteousness is believing the promise of God and the promises of God. When God comes and speaks the promise that he died for you and saved you and has a purpose to restore you, the moment you believe, God says, you're righteous. So they're righteous. That's what the Bible says. They're righteous, and I'm just going to say it because I believe it. They're righteous by faith. Noah was a righteous man by faith. Why? Because let me tell you, you can do all the good works you can do in this life, but without faith, everything else will just consume you. It'll just consume you. And you can do good things from here to the kingdom come, but there's still the fallenness of man, the fallenness in your life, in your heart, and you are unrighteous in your soul, your spirit, or whatever you want to call that. I'm just telling you, you're righteous by faith. And this couple are believers. They believe the promises of God. Now, the second thing is that they're righteous in the sight of God, and they walk blamelessly in all the commands and requirements of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean they do it perfectly. They just do it blamelessly. And so God looks at a couple all these years with this consistent, faithful walk with God, week after week, month after month, year after year. They are righteous by faith, and as a result of your righteousness by faith, you begin to look righteous. You begin to look holy, and this is what takes place in their lives. The Bible says that the third thing they do is that they keep the way of the Lord. They walk blamelessly. They keep His way. I'm going to tell you another thing about them. As priests, they are prayers. They pray. They intercede for their people. That's what priests do. And they stand before their people to teach them, to love them, and then to lead them to the right way. And they do that not just by their words, but by their lifestyle. Their lifestyle of faith and righteousness. They are a people who intercede. And then the last thing they say about him, but, verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years, and I'm just going to say this, and biologically, they would have absolutely no chance, biologically, to ever have children. I mean, they're done with that physically. She's done with that physically. It's the whole point of the Christmas story. It's where the impossible promises of God come true. And that's the Christian life. It's the impossible promises of God coming true. That's why we talked last week of this great hope, this anticipation of God doing the impossible in our lives, promising impossible things by human nature, but possible by God. And I tell you, you know this from this passage of Scripture, because I want to just tell you this. Here's kind of a big idea. Being faithful at what God calls you to will position you to be used of Him in greater ways. Their faithfulness year after year positioned them to be used of Him, of God, in greater ways. And I want to tell you what greater way, other than Mary and Joseph raising the Son of God, than to raise John the Baptist, who would come, be the last prophet in that area of prophecy, the last guy that could come along and say, it's Jesus. They're going to raise John the Baptist. And the Bible says in a minute, we'll look at this in a moment, that they were faithful, 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 faithful. And then all of a sudden, God said, I got one more assignment for you. And the assignment is to raise a son that was prophesied for 1,000 years. That would come and make a way and prepare a people for the Lord. Here's a big idea for you. Being faithful at what God calls you to positions you to be used of Him in greater ways. The Bible says, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. If you're consistent in the small things that you consider small or the world considers small, you will be faithful in the bigger things. And that God will entrust to you more in ministry, more in relationship. He just does that. The question is how faithful are you walking in the grace and the mercy and the giftedness that God has imparted to you when you came to Christ. You all have a gift. Some of you have the gift of teaching that you're not using. Some of you have the gift of encouragement that just you're not using. The gift of giving, the gift of service, the gift of hospitality. And I just want to say, when you're being faithful in what God calls you to, He'll position you to be used of Him in greater ways. And I just want us to see that today in a very clear way. Here's this faithful priest, faithful wife in the midst of disappointments. And all of a sudden, what we're going to see here in a moment is that this journey is about to get, watch this, really crazy. It's a crazy journey. Wild. Have you ever been on a wild vacation? Right? Where it just was up and down, up and down. Have you ever been on a crazy journey? You know, well, I'm just going to tell you, I love the title of the book, Crazy Love, because that's just what it is. Christian love is crazy love, crazy in a good way, not a bad way. Wild in a good way, not a bad way. The Bible says that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and it's the violent men who enter it by force. I'm going to tell you, it's a good violence. It's a good one. And this is where it gets wild. This is where the journey just gets really, 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 in some ways, spooky. Well, maybe not. But it does to this guy, right? I mean, he's going to get scared to death. Listen to me. Crazy love, crazy faith. Who in the world would ever believe that? It's crazy. The Bible says that the world will call us fools for Christ because we believe what we believe. That's crazy, crazy things to believe, wild things to believe, that God would come and have the audacity to do in our lives. Like, give us freedom. Give us the ability and power to forgive. The ability and the power to move mountains, to speak into people's lives, to see life change in our children and our grandchildren and the people that we come in contact with. It's wild that we would think that God would use us like that. Almost crazy, right? Crazy. And then he put in the thing, even though he's sovereign, you still got some free will in you to do what God's asked you to do or not. It's the whole point of obedience. And he entrusts you and me, fallen, to be used of him in greater ways. And it gets wild. I would just notice. Here's the second thing. This is the first thing. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they're on this journey, physical journey to Jerusalem for their first faithful service to God. And again, this is where it gets wild. This is where it gets crazy. And then the second thing is an angel named Gabriel journeying to Jerusalem, right? Journeying to Jerusalem from heaven. What's he going to do? He's going to speak a word from God. Watch, after 400 years of silence, from Malachi to now, it's 400 years. And those are years, yes, they had the Torah, they had the prophets, they had some things written down, but I'm just telling you, nothing like this has happened in 400 years. And that's wild to me. You know how long 400 years is? How long has our country been? Somebody quit? 242. 242 years. What's the date 400 years ago? I didn't write it down, so somebody tell me real quick, Matt. Huh? 400 years ago. 16 what? 1618. 400 years. Can you imagine? 1618 to 2018, 400 years of nothing like this happens. It's almost something forgotten, let alone hoped for. And so that's the last thing on his mind. He's just doing his priestly service. And yet God comes along and breaks the silence that Zacharias becomes the first to hear a word, a fresh word, a new word. An impossible word. Your old wife's going to have a baby. Impossible word. And that's what he breaks the silence with. And let me tell you this, that's what he'll break the silence in your life. With a word, with a promise. A promise and a word of hope and anticipation. And we talked last week about hope being this expectation of a great outcome. And this is what God speaks. He's speaking about, listen, this is salvation coming. This is heaven coming down. And it begins with a prophet named John. And guess what? He's going to be your boy. I'm entrusting this boy to your care. So I just you think about that and just, you've got this two, this 400 years of silence. Look at Malachi 4:5 on the screen. This was the word. I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he's going to restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. I'm telling you, at this point, the world is lost. It's thrust into darkness. There's desperate times under the hand of Rome. God's people are lost, and God comes up and shows up with something great. And when he does that, listen, folks, it's often wild. Maybe you need to break out a journal this week and say, the wild things that happen in my faith. And just start remembering how crazy that was, how wild that was. That God would meet me where he met me and move us to where he moved us. It's a wild, wild journey. And this is crazy, because this angel appears with an amazing word. And let me tell you, this word is a powerful answer from a long distant, long ago prayer. Notice what it says. He says, the angel comes in, and verse 11. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw it, and then fear gripped him. Angel said to him, "Hey, don't be afraid, Zacharias. Your petition has been heard." Your petition has been heard. What petition? What petition? Do you think this couple is still praying for a child in their 50s? Do you still think that they're praying for it in their 60s? I don't know. Maybe the change of life came to her earlier. And all of a sudden, man, there's no hope in it. It's done. It's over. This angel comes and says, knocks on your door and says, "Hey, the petition that you've prayed for has come." Now, I know there's some things that have happened in our lives that might be 4 or 5 years. What? Stutler's your story. The petition, you're right. 4 or 5 years felt like 400 years sometimes, right? Or 60 years. But it came. And he says, God answered your prayer. And this is a word that's a powerful answer from a long distant, long ago prayer. I mean, watch this. This whole priest is just doing his thing. He's doing his thing in the temple. He got to do something that most priests didn't get to do. He got to go into the altar of incense, got to go into the inner court, not the Holy of Holies, but in the inner court. And he gets to light the incense. And all of a sudden, the angel appears to him and says, "Listen, I'm going to answer the prayer. God's going to answer the prayer that you've prayed." And I just find that just so amazing. I feel like that's so wild that the first thing God says, "Hey, I want to answer your prayer." And I just can't help but think, he says, "Hey, what prayer? What are you talking about?" He says, "Listen, this is what's going to happen. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to bear you a son, and you're going to name him John. And he'll be great in the sight of the Lord, and he'll drink no wine or liquor, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." 16, he's going to turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. And it's he's going as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And he's going to turn hearts of the fathers back to the children, Zacharias. And he's going to turn the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, Zacharias, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, Zacharias. your boy. Answer to your prayer according to God's plan, divine, eternal plan. I had this in mind. God would say, I think he would say, from the foundation of the world. And you are on my mind. You are on my mind from the foundation of the world. I don't understand it. I don't pretend to understand that. But that's how great God is. I pick you for this boy. I pick you. Yeah, in your old age. And a very utter impossibility. And I'm just going to say, you know, here is one of, you know, one of 18,000 priests in Israel. I mean, they've all heard the stories. They've all heard that the Messiah is coming. There is some kind of hope in that. Maybe it's hard to hope and it's hard to believe. But then all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you, it's just wild. God gives a wild promise, a crazy promise. It's just wild, folks. And then Zacharias, I mean, here's the third wild thing. Let me just tell you this. This is the third crazy thing. An old, speechless priest. As a pastor, that's just crazy. 40 years in ministry, speechless. Not having anything to say, can't say it. I just want to tell you, that's a nightmare. Because I can't write. It's a nightmare. You know, there's been a couple of times that I've lost my voice and I thought, am I not believing something? He did it once. You know, is this going to last? I'm telling you, it's pure, pardon the phrase, it's pure hell for me not to speak for 3 days. But to whisper. It's just heck, folks. It's just hard. It's just difficult. And here he is. He's going to be deaf. He's going to be mute. I'm sorry. For 9 months. And I'm just going to tell you, that's a crazy thing to me. It's wild. It's crazy. It's a crazy journey. It's a 9-month silent journey. That's what it's going to be. Why? Because he doubts the word of God. No, notice what he says. He says, how are you going to do that? How will I know this? And there's an element that we know is doubt and unbelief. I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. Now you know, I think about that, and I think about the patriarch Abraham. Father Abraham had the same deal going in Genesis. You can read about it also in Romans chapter 4. I mean, it's the same story. Abraham's 75 years old when God calls him. That's in chapter 12. And then for 30 years, God chases him in the wilderness or in the Middle East or Holy Land or wherever, chasing him with the promise, you're going to be a great nation. You're going to be a great nation. There's going to be a seed that comes from you, and you're going to bless all the families of the earth, all the families. You're going to be a great nation. And I just, for 25 years, he's scratching his head. I'm old. Sarah's advanced in years, and you keep making this impossible promise. It's just impossible. And one day in Genesis chapter 15, God comes along one day and he says, Abraham, your reward is going to be very great. And I think Abraham goes, oh, here we go again. 25 years hearing this, and nothing's happening. But duh, why would it happen? She's done. She's done. Abraham says, listen, Lord, there's no heir. Don't you get this, God? There's no heir. The heir who's going to take everything, of my own is Eliezer of Damascus. He's just a foreigner. He's been a faithful servant all these years. He's the guy. And he says, don't you say that. The heir is going to come from your own. Now, come here. I want you to show you something. We talked a little bit about this last week with the seed. He said, look at the stars. So shall your seed be. And in Genesis chapter 15, this is what it says in the Old Testament. And I feel like it's just like, then he believed in the Lord. And there God reckoned it to him as righteousness. And you know what happened a year later? They're carrying a baby named Isaac. A year later. They're carrying him. I mean, the moment he believes, God gets the action. She gets pregnant. And I'm telling you, 9 months later, just like this. And so Zacharias has the story. He's heard it. He's read it. He's taught it. And now it's happening to him. It's happening to him. An impossible promise from a prayer that was just impossible. Impossible because there is no child coming. And even in old age, what prayer? What prayer? And he doesn't believe. And I look at this and I think, you know, one of the neat things about this is sometimes what I've found is that that God will answer prayer in amazing ways. And this is an amazing way. It's wild. It's crazy. It's out of this world. And you know, the prayer oftentimes is answered in the 11th hour of our lives. This is the 11th hour of their lives, folks. And they've remained faithful. And God comes along and answers it. You know, the world, it's just dark. It's spiritually deaf. And you know, the last thing he needs for even 9 months is a bunch of mute priests of God. So what do you mean by that? Do you know that Peter calls you and me a kingdom of priests? Not just the guy you hire or the staff you hire, but every one of you. Let's get back to what we thought just a moment, talked about just a moment ago. The gifts and God, and the promises of God that you have as priests of the living God, where you don't have to go through me or anybody else to find God. You can find him on your own. But listen, he still uses priests of the living God. You and me. Listen, we don't wear collars. We've got the Holy Spirit. And the last thing the world needs is a bunch of mute priests who can't speak of the promises of God, that are not living it out for the world to see. If you came to Jesus, you're a priest. The Bible has given you a ministry of reconciliation, a word of reconciliation, that by your life and your words, you're begging people to be reconciled to God. It's the message of God. And the last thing the world needs and the last thing priests need is to be quiet, but to speak with boldness the glory of God. Had this conversation in elders this morning. Sometimes we think about bold speech as going up and telling people about Jesus and telling them they got to be saved. And that's wrong. I'm going to tell you, it takes some of us a boldness to go to somebody just to encourage them, just to speak into their life, to say something kind and good. You're a priest. You're a people with the Spirit of God. And I don't want us to go another day without somehow speaking it into people's lives. Because the last thing the world needs is a bunch of mute priests. You know, I think there's another thought in this. What he says to John ought to fill him up. I mean, he's being so detailed. He's saying things like, listen, you're going to have a boy, and you're going to have joy and gladness. This boy's going to bring joy and gladness to you, and many are going to rejoice at his birth. He's going to be great in the sight of God. Listen, this child of yours is going to bring joy, and God's going to see him as great, and he'll drink no wine or liquor, but be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And all that means is he's not going to be influenced by anything but the Holy Spirit of the living God. He's not going to be influenced by alcohol, drugs, or anything else of this world. He's going to be influenced by the Spirit of the living God. Watch, yet in his mother's womb. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to have a ministry of influence. He's going to turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. He's going to go as a forerunner, as Elijah, in the power of Elijah, to do great things in families. And the most important thing is he's going to make people ready for our God. You know, I think about this third thought here in this section. You know, God answers prayer amazingly out of this world ways. So ask God for amazing things and watch him work. And then the world is dark and spiritually deaf. And the last thing it needs is mute priests. And then third, John's life is your life. John's life is your children's lives. It's a vision for your family. It's a vision for your family to be effective and influential in the kingdom of God. And this ought to be an illustration for us. As a godly couple and a godly son who are family, and they work together, and they play together, and they do ministry together. Because guess what? John is in the line of priests. That's what he is. And God is giving him this great, great detail of who this man is and what this man will do. And in 30 years, it's 30 years from now, he's going to do these things. But Zacharias just can't grasp it. He's doubting. He's a doubting priest. And you know, here's another idea. You can still have faith that reckons you righteous and still struggle with unbelief. Is that right? You can have faith that reckons you righteous and in your journey still struggle with unbelief. How many of you through the years have struggled with unbelief? One, look at you. It doesn't mean you're lost. Matter of fact, if you're struggling with unbelief, it means you've heard something and you've heard it from God. And it means you're not dead. You're alive. Because you're hearing God. But just remember, it's God. And just like you trusted him for salvation, that you'll go to heaven with him one day, you've got to trust him for the rest. And believe that when God says that the faith of priests will bring the hearts of the fathers to the hearts of the children and bring them back together, restoring families that have been broken and fractured. And you may be here today with a fractured family, but God has said otherwise. Will I believe that today? Well, I believe the impossible promises of God of freedom from sexual sin and addiction, for freedom from guilt and shame from the past, freedom in Jesus. Well, I believe the impossible promises of God. Well, I believe that he truly will and is conforming us into the image of Jesus. See, you can still have faith that reckons righteousness and still struggle with it. But I want to tell you, if you're struggling with it and God said something, you need to stop struggling with it. Just like the song, "Time Is Now." Angels sing it. He's coming. Heaven is here. It's done. It's complete. It's finished. He's done all the work. He's done all the work. And he's given you the Spirit of God to do these things in the power of Elijah, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of John the Baptist. Luke 18:27 said, listen, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Like Abraham and Sarah, and then Zacharias and Elizabeth. Wild things. It's the fifth wild thing about the journey. And the wild thing is a pregnant old woman. Now, let me just tell you this. This isn't a woman on the edge that might could get pregnant. Okay? Might can get pregnant. She's old. Okay? She's advanced in years. With no hope to reproduce, because she knows it's dead. This isn't some woman that's old but still looks young. Okay. This is a woman that looks old. Okay. Or it's not an impossibility. It's got to be an impossibility, right? She's old, advanced in years. And this is why he can't believe it. She's too old. Just look at her. Oh, Abraham did that. He looked at Sarah and said, she's too old. And he looked at him. He said, I'm dead. But the Bible says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but stood strong in his faith, believing that what God promised, that God would do. It's a marvelous promise. It's a wild promise. It's a wild thing. But all of a sudden, she shows up pregnant. It happens. It takes place. You know, I often wonder how Zacharias communicated to his wife about what he saw and what he heard. But the great thing about him hearing it, and as he's a part of it, his wife's a part of it. And really, really, in all, she's the woman that she's going to believe. Now, when he gets silent, I'm just telling you, to me, that's the journey from unbelief to belief. Because the first few months, there's no bump, right? Is that right? And she's been, you know, off rhythm for a long time. So she don't know. And I don't know. I think this guy's just thinking. And all of a sudden, am I going to believe this or not? Well, the angel said you're going to be deaf. Mute. You're not going to be able to speak. And he can't speak. And it goes into 1 month, 2 months. 3 months, maybe. And then all of a sudden, they know it's there. They know he is there. And I just believe it's a 9-month journey of where God is stirring, incubating faith, incubating this thing. And sometimes, folks, we need the incubation period. We just need it. It's just where God shows us and where God does it. And sometimes it's little by little and it's increment by increment. But that's the grace of God, right? Where he just reveals it little by little. You see the little hope here, and sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to go back a couple steps, but then I'm going to move 2 steps, 3 steps forward, and then, oh, is it going to really happen? Is this really going to happen? And I see it, and I hope, and all of a sudden he sees it's happening. But he's human. I mean, even in the 8th, 9th month, do you think he's still scratching his head thinking, oh, I wonder if this is really going to happen? Because he's old. I think that God does something so incredible in that 9 months of silence in his life. So that we're not going to be able to get this because of time. Because when you go to the end of it all, he belts out this beautiful song about God's faithfulness. And who this son, who Jesus is. And he'll talk about Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then he'll tell about 2 lines for his son. Because he knows that someone else is going to be here that's more important than his son. And how do we know that? Well, we know that because of another, just a little crazy thing. An unborn baby leaping for joy in his mother's womb. Isn't it incredible that a baby 6 months in the womb knows that Jesus is in the room? 6 months old in the womb knows that Jesus is in the room. And he's ready to go. He's ready to do what he's designed to do. He knows it somehow. It's some mysterious way that he's ready for his ministry to the world, to Israel, his Savior. And he's not even born yet. He's just ready. Some of you had kids like that. They come out of the womb, and then in 3 months, they're ready to get going. Not look back. And he's doing this. He's leaping in the womb. He is leaping. And that's what the scripture says. That when Mary hears what happened to her, and that the angel said, hey, your cousin, your kin, she's conceived in her old age. And she was called barren, is now in her 6th month. And so Mary runs, goes to the hill country. Another journey from Nazareth to the city in Judah. She journeys there. And she enters the house. She greets Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth, look at verse 41, heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaps in her womb. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cries out, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my voice, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Let me tell you this other thing. A 6-month baby in one womb leaps for joy for a 1 week old. The Holy Spirit of God works at conception. And as a country, we're aborting them. Listen, I'm not making this as a political statement or anything. But these kinds of babies that have the potential to change lives, and it grieves me. It grieves me. It sometimes makes me so angry, especially when I read a 6 month in the womb declaring and leaping for joy for a 1 week old, or maybe a 2 day old. I don't know how long it took for her to get to Judah, to that city of Judah. But that baby's viable, alive, living. And I think this is wild. I think this is crazy, but it's crazy good. And I tell you this, you never heard me say this. I've said it privately to some people, but I think when our country gets this right, we'll get everything else right. I just believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. When we get this right, we'll get everything else right. I just believe that. I may be wrong, but I just believe. I know there's a lot of things going on that we need to get right. But come on. Jesus is not even a week old, and he's 6 month old in the womb, is leaping for joy for the 1 week old. It's crazy, it's wild, but I'm going to tell you this. Here's where I get off of that and I get to this. And you know what Elizabeth says? Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Very unlike my husband. You're blessed. Let me tell you another big idea. It's not on the screen. For Zacharias, bless his heart, bless our hearts. When we don't believe, God will still do what God wants to do, even in those moments of unbelief. Why? Because he's a righteous man by faith. God's already said that. And you can be a righteous man and woman by faith and still struggle with unbelief. There may be a little consequences, like not being able to speak for 9 months, not be able to do your job for 9 months. But hey, what God can do in the silence. What God can do in the silence. A pregnant old woman, a 6 month old baby leaping in the womb for a 1 week old. And then here's the sixth thing. A 9 month journey, silent journey, from unbelief to faith. You know, I just want to say in closing a couple of things. I think it's on the screen. Elizabeth is pregnant with a baby with such wonderful destiny. You are filled or pregnant with the same hope, the same possibilities, and the same faith. And I would say, be pregnant with that. Be filled with hope. Be filled with anticipation of the promises of God. And as we move this from this first Sunday of Advent, as we move into the coming of Christ and as a baby in the manger in this first Sunday, let God impregnate you with the same possibilities to be used in a great, mighty way. And maybe that just means getting to a place of silence and saying, God, I'm going to be silent. I'm going to let you speak to me. What are you calling me to? What are you asking me to believe? What are you putting in my heart about our marriage or about our family or about our son or our daughter or our church or our, the Sunday school kids or the children I keep in the nursery? Or what am I supposed to do about my sister or my brother? Listen, let him fill up this hope. Like she was filled up with a 6 month old promise named John the Baptist. Zacharias couldn't believe and became silent for 9 months. Listen, just avoid the mute button. Just believe him and go with it. We call that trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Trust, believe it, and move through it. Third, John the Baptist would always point to Jesus by his words and by his life. And let me just tell you this, there's only recorded about a six-month part of his life. He started his ministry at 30. He probably died at 30 and a half. 6 months. When his work was done, he lost his life. And let me just say, when I think about John the Baptist, he made it his aim. So make it your aim to always point to Jesus. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Lord, an incredible, crazy, wild journey. From a city in Judah to Jerusalem, a physical journey that was made a bunch of times by this elderly couple. A bunch of times. And Lord, I just want to thank you for that journey. I want to thank you for the story. It's a part of our heritage. It's a part of a heritage of faith. We're a people that believe the impossible promises of God. We anticipate those promises coming true. And I want to thank you for that today. I thank you for the journey from unbelief to faith. And Lord, there may be someone in here today that is not righteous by faith. They've never come to hear and embrace and believe the promise that Jesus made, that he died for them as if they were the only ones to die for. That Jesus died for me. To have that kind of faith today, I pray that would just break chains and, Father God, fetter us to you. Lord, I pray for a church family that becomes pregnant with great ideas, with great requests, with great life, with great hope. Come, Lord, visit us with this Christian faith, this Christmas faith. Move us from unbelief in the journey to faith. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So question is, what are you having a hard time believing right now? Let's journey from that hard time to seeing you embrace it by faith. And in hope, embrace it real and real. Let's stand together. Let me bless you. Yeah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. This shalom. I read this morning, yeah, keep your hands up for just a second. This is a good one. That the mind stayed on him, God gives perfect peace. And literally it's, he gives shalom, shalom. That's what it says literally. Shalom, shalom. If shalom one time is great, shalom twice is even greater. Amen. So I want to bless you with shalom, shalom in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.